racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
A big hello, I'm Bob Bubka, here with St. Louis icon Jay Randolph Jr., also known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Follow him there. Well, Jay, the first of the three big invitationals is now in the books. We only have Jack's and Arnie's set to come. Tiger had his the past weekend. Quick comment from me, and then I want your opinion. I think the winner, the ultimate winner, was Riviera.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any question, Bob. I think we saw a case in point on back-to-back Sundays. We talked about it last week with a golf course, that one of the shortest golf courses on tour, Pebble Beach, played difficult on that Sunday with the wind. And the hole locations and the greens and the placement of where you had to put your ball, no question about it. I mean, 68 was the low round on Sunday. And I'm not going to do the research, but it's been a long time since a 68 was the low round on a Sunday on the PGA Tour. I completely agree. I'm always amazed at looking at the 18th hole there, because back in the early to mid-80s, guys were hitting 4-wood and 3-iron and 2-iron into that green up the hill. Now they're hitting 9-iron or wedge. But it still doesn't matter. It's not like they're sticking it at 18. So it was good to see an old, venerable, tested track like Riviera with that unbelievable 10th hole at 285 yards get them every time. I love Riviera, and it's good to see in golf that an old girl can still get it done.
Yeah, it's quite amazing when we look in the history books, Jay. We note, well documented, certainly last week, Tiger Woods, now 14 trips or 14 events played at Riviera, no victories. Jack Nicklaus played there almost a dozen times, around 12 times, no victories for Mr. Nicklaus. And there is Ben Hogan, three times a winner, including a U.S. Open. Certainly Ben had Riviera figured out.
Well, you know, it is, in a sense, a shot maker's golf course, because you have to shape your shots a little bit with the hole locations and some of those punch bowl greens and the difficulty of the surrounds with the bunkering. It's still a test, and you know, one little mess up there and it's not bogey, it's double or triple. And we saw that with Rory McIlroy in the final round. I mean, we're getting set for what we thought was going to be this unique trio of Cooch, you know, the human ATM machine, Adam Scott, who's played so well, won at Riviera, but it was a 36-hole non-sanctioned win and always seems to play well there. And then the number one player in the world making his debut in the States on fire, Rory, and a triple bogey cost him. So, you know, it's a grand golf course. And as you know, Bob, you basically start off one under. The first hole's only about a 515-yard par five down the hill. Guys are sticking it in there for eagles. So it just shows you how good a golf course it really is.
Yeah, it really is, and it stood the test of time. I love the statue of Ben Hogan's there. That's there. Of course, it's referred to quite often as Hogan's Alley. Ben himself just loved coming there. An old-time member there, actually, was O.J. Simpson, but they rescinded his membership after a little trouble with the law, let's put it that way. Sunday certainly was the toughest day. The wind was up, Jay, as you alluded to. The greens were rock hard. And boy, that makes for just a wonderful test for the best players in the world. I mean, they have answers for everything, but they don't have answers for the wind.
No, there's nothing you can do there. We saw Tiger really struggled. They showed a lot of his final round. He was all over the joint with distance control, and I think that's what Adam Scott did so well in the middle portion of his round to really kind of sustain himself as the guy who was the one to chase. You had other guys doing the best they could. You know, you look at Kuchar hanging on there. I mean, another gigantic payday for him, Sung Kang, and Scott Brown. I mean, Scott Brown just finished tied for second on the PGA Tour. So, you know, in a tremendous field. Almost, in a sense, a better field than we're going to have this week in Mexico, as they had 8 of the top 10 in the field at Riviera. And I know that at last check, 6 of the top 10 are in the World Golf Championship event in Mexico. And I think there's a couple of reasons, Bob. I think obviously Tiger now as an invitational. I mean, I, you know, he may have written some letters to some guys and said, "Hey, I'd really love you to play," or talk to some of the guys on the President's Cup team. And then now with this schedule, where you've got Mexico in between the start of the Florida swing, it's a tough date. And we know guys are going to pick and choose what's best for them, and that's what we're seeing a little bit this week in Mexico. But they showed up at Riviera.
Yeah, they certainly did. And Adam Scott was simply marvelous over the 72 holes. And this is what he had to say on his victory.
This is incredibly satisfying. Certainly, we've seen this tournament elevate over the last few years, thanks to Genesis, and certainly with Tiger coming in. It's now an invitational style field. And it's a big deal, and it truly feels like a big deal, especially, you know, we've had incredible weather this week. It's at a great venue, and you know, really the crowds come out and enjoy themselves.
Jay, let me ask you this. Is there a nicer gentleman on the PGA Tour than Adam Scott?
Boy, I'll tell you what, I was standing next to him in 2006 when he was waiting to see if he was going to get in a playoff there at Riviera. And he didn't get in the playoff. He was actually on the range and, you know, keep trying to keep warm. But he is a super nice gentleman, almost to the point where you wonder if he had a little meanness in him or a little anger, he might win more often, you know, one of those type of deals. But super guy, super victory. And you wonder what it means for the year ahead for Adam Scott. Again, one of those guys that got a lot of high praise early on, both he and Baddeley, Baddeley coming a little bit before him, and Adam has gone on to have a better career, but still I feel like he's got more to do. He's got more trophies to etch, maybe another, you know, another major championship. What will this mean for his year as we look at all these guys as we start heading towards Florida after Mexico and then towards Augusta?
And I mean no malice about the statement I'm going to make, because I love the country of Australia. I've been there a few times. Would jump at any opportunity to go back. But right now, the Aussies are on fire. I mean, Cameron Smith winning the Sony, Mark Leishman winning the Farmers Insurance Open, and now the only Australian ever to win a Masters comes away with the Genesis Invitational. Just an incredible performance. Matter of fact, Adam Scott talks about that as we asked him, are the Aussies more confident after the President's Cup?
I think it's something that came about from that President's Cup, and it's not surprising. I've seen it before with some guys off the back of an incredible President's Cup experience where there's pressure out on the golf course and guys really learning and elevating their games and then putting that into practice the next time they're in a pressure situation. I know I did that back in 2003. We played in December in South Africa, and I remember leading the players going into Sunday, but using that pressure situation playing with Ernie in South Africa as a way to know that I can handle it. And I think some of us might have done that off the back of this President's Cup. So, and it's certainly motivation for me seeing Cam and Mark win to come out and make sure I'm not the one lagging behind. So over to Jason.
And, of course, Adam Scott was looking forward to the fifth birthday of his lovely young daughter, which is taking place this week. So Adam Scott, not only great on the golf course, great husband, great father, cannot say enough nice things about Adam Scott. Of course, as you mentioned, Mr. Randolph, he does get that three-year exemption. We said only two other events offer that, Memorial and Bay Hill. Of course, the Players, you get that whopping five-year exemption, and it used to be 10 years. Pretty soon there's going to be an event out there that's going to give a lifetime exemption, and everybody will be there. The surprising thing and the happy thing, Jay, is the fact that I think Adam Scott thinks maybe his best years may be ahead of him.
No, and that's huge. I mean, that's a big confidence thing. He talked about playing off the confidence of the President's Cup. And Bob, you know, it's the Olympics have become serious. We've talked about that on the show, that now it's becoming a force in golf. And you heard Ian Baker Finch talk about it on the broadcast. Ian Baker Finch is the coach. Now, I don't know how much coaching he's going to be doing, but he's going to have a jacket on and he's going to walk in the Olympic ceremonies as the coach. Well, you said it perfectly. He's got Cam Smith. He's got Leishman. He's got Adam Scott. And as Adam said, hey, game on to Jason Day. So, you know, right now the Aussies would have to be clearly one of the favorites. And you know, the guy we're going to talk about next, Tiger Woods, is, you know, he's not saying, well, he said it. He wants to make the Olympic team. I'm not going to say he's desperate to make it, but, you know, he'd like to add that to the cachet. And that's another, you know, we talk about the four majors and the FedEx Cup and the Ryder Cup. Hey, you better throw the Olympics in this year, especially where it is.
Well said, Jay. And as I alluded to a little earlier, Adam Scott firmly believes his best years may be ahead.
My career is in a good spot, I guess. You know, even before winning this week, I feel like physically and somewhat mentally I'm okay after 20 years out here. And you know, I really do believe if I can maintain motivation and focus, the next 5 years can be my best years on tour. But, you know, that it's easy to say those things. It's very hard to do. Maintaining that focus and that drive for the long periods of time isn't easy, but I think I need that to leave the game satisfied at some point.
Well, Adam Scott, I think if you never picked up another golf club, golf fans around the world, we would owe you a big thank you. You have contributed a lot to the game, not only by the way you play the game, but as Jay alluded to, the way you conduct yourself as a gentleman. Now, I'm dreading having to talk about this because I definitely want your opinion, Jay. Tiger, in all honesty, he looked a little old at 44 years old. I had the suspicion, and I'm curious as whether you had the same reaction, watching him walk, watching him pick up the ball out of the cup, I kept getting this nagging feeling that back was not 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it was different than the way we saw him handle things in the late fall in Japan. He did not look very good, and it got progressively worse. Now, as we talked about, the final day was the toughest, and I think for a guy like that, even you know, when you're out of it, you're trying to fight and do everything you can. But this was. This was kind of the first step back, if you will, backwards, instead of forwards that we've seen in a long time. I hope it doesn't mean too much. I would imagine, I mean, from all indications, most people think we won't see him until Bay Hill, that he won't play Honda. We know he's not playing in Mexico. So I hope it's one of those cases where maybe he just wasn't right for the week. He doesn't necessarily tear up Riviera, as you mentioned earlier, with all the times playing there. But it did have the appearance that it wasn't right.
Well, you know, one thing, Jay, we got to cut him a little slack. He had early tee times. It was a little cool. It was a little damp. And any of our listeners that suffer with a bad back know automatically that those weather conditions are certainly not good if you have an ailing back.
No, no doubt about it. And you're right. It was colder. I mean, I looked on, I think it was Saturday, it was 46 degrees in the morning as they were starting to tee off. So, yeah, like I said, my hope is for the good of the game and for the fact that Bob and I are not-so-Tiger fans. I mean, you know, we're big fans of the guy, that this was just kind of a bump in the road and he'll get back on track as we move towards Augusta. And he said as much. I mean, we know now, especially, that it's all about the big events, and the big events are the four majors. He wants to be at his best the Thursday of Augusta. So we'll see. But like, you know, we're gonna watch a little closer, I think, because of the situation. But one thing about him, and you know, you couldn't really tell, Bob. It wasn't like he was hanging his head or kicking the bag or throwing clubs. And when he got done, he faced the music and talked to Amanda Baliones. So and had a chipper attitude. So yeah. We'll see.
Well, you know, and I have a reverse look at what you just said. When I see somebody that's not angry with that type of performance, I start to wonder, is he teetering on accepting that? I mean, three putting from 3 feet. I mean, come on. You know, in your worst day, you never did that, Jay. So
Sunday,
I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, Sunday, Sunday was the first time I've seen him in a long time where it really looked like he didn't want to be there. He, you know, like he was kind of playing out the string because it was his tournament, made the cut, but he really had nothing on Sunday, and he said as much after the tournament.
Yeah, he really did. Let's hope wherever he shows up, and I kind of lean towards what you said, being Bay Hill. I mean, he's won there 8 times, and, you know, he still has a lot of respect for Arnold Palmer. Before we go any further, I got to take this opportunity to make Jay Randolph Jr. feel just a little bit old this past week. Marked 47 years since Arnold Palmer won on the PGA Tour. 47 years, Jay.
Yeah, once Brett Quigley won on the Champions Tour, that was it for me. I mean, God, I was teammates with one on the Champions Tour. Bob, there's no question about it, brother. We're getting old, and there's nothing we can do to stop it.
I don't want to stop it. You stop getting old. You've checked out, my friend. Another good performance, Matt Kuchar, like you referred to him, the automatic ATM machine. He just shows up and gets paid. Actually, his caddy, you know, John Wood, very respected out there, tried to set him up a little bit. Told him the pins were going to be tough and conditions were going to be tough. And you know, Paul would be his friend, but still not enough to get Matt Kuchar over the line.
No, but he fought and he stayed with it. He played poor. You know, he played so good in the opening round. He didn't get what he needed to out of Saturday's round. And, you know, they came at him right off the bat on Sunday, except for McIlroy. But he hung in there. And let's be honest, if you watch the coverage, I mean, he's playing with two guys that hit it. Rory hits it damn near 50 yards by him. That's not easy to do. But Cooch plays that fade, stays with what he's doing, and he is a tremendous putter. And another big paycheck going into bank.
I was happy to see the performance by Sung Kang. He won the AT&T Byron Nelson last year. But this year, he has Zach Johnson's old caddy, a good buddy of the show and a good buddy of a lot of people, a great caddy, Damon Green, on the bag for Sung Kang, guided him to a second-place finish. Good performance by Mr. Kang. Of course, probably leaving Riviera, the biggest disappointment would be on the shoulders of Rory McIlroy. And as you mentioned, that big triple bogey on number five on Sunday, that was just a little bit more than he could overcome.
Tournament changed on a dime for him at that moment. And the complexion of the tournament changed, taking him out of the mix. He had opportunities at 8 and 9 and missed them. And that would have gotten him kind of back into the category of maybe. But, you know, he didn't have it on the final day. I think, again, as we saw last year, consistency was a measure of something Rory spent a lot of time looking at. And while he won't be happy with the final round performance, it's still a tie for fifth. He ties with Bryson DeChambeau, who's woken up a little bit, Max Homa, who loves leaderboards, Joel Dahman, and Hideki Matsuyama decided to play good on Sunday. So good to see that. It wasn't the type of finish that Dustin Johnson wanted on Sunday. He was not able to fire. Rombo didn't get it going over the weekend. He finished tied for 17th. And Brooks Koepka, I think I mentioned on the show last week, I had a friend, Skip Berkmeyer, good amateur player that was down working on his move at the Floridian with some Butch Harmon people. And the Harmon people told him that Koepka's still not there. He's close, that he feels like by playing, it's going to get him stronger. Apparently, he's not 100% pain-free, but did make the cut and will continue to follow his progression. You and I wondered why it was so quiet for a couple of months after the fall in Japan on the cart path. We didn't. The Koepka camp was very quiet, but he went over and played in Saudi Arabia, and now plays here at Riviera. And he's not playing this week, I don't think. But we'll see how he does as he progresses. But again, not 100% yet for Brooks Koepka.
Well, far from 100%. And it was kind of alarming to hear Brooks last week disclose that on Monday that his knee hurt him more than it's hurt him over the last few months. So he not only is not completely well, he's still struggling with a lot of pain. And when you play that power game that Brooks Koepka plays, you need some good wheels under you.
No, you need a base. You're exactly right. When you put that power move on it, if you're not stable, it could go bad. Time for a short break. We'll recharge our batteries and hear from our fantastic sponsors. And when we return, we're going to take a look at the WGC Mexico Championship, as well as the opposite of it, the Puerto Rico Open. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected.
Capilore Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Capilore Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator freezer so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. We're going to go south of the border, but before we do, we want to tell you, you can find me, Jay Randolph Jr., on Twitter, STL Golf Geek, and my man Bob Bupka is there at Bob Bupka, VOG. So follow us on Twitter like our man does over on in Europe, and our gambler who is always trying to find value. And this week, you might find some because some of the best players aren't playing. South of the border, Bob, the WGC Mexico Championship at the Club de Golf Chapultepec, which is got a lot of elevation, 7,500 above sea level, and your defending champion. We talked about him at the end of our previous segment, not having the Sunday he wanted to, but he'll defend this week in Mexico, Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, Dustin Johnson loves that golf course. He loves the altitude. I mean, he hits it 9 million miles, and then you put him at altitude, it just goes further. But when we take a look at the Michigan action, very impressive. It would make a great field, actually. Tiger resting after last week. We alluded to Brooks Koepka not being 100% healthy with that knee. Patrick Cantlay, a little concerned there. No reason given. He was a top 10 finish last year, and now we're hearing that he may not play again to the players. Generally, Jay, that means some kind of injury. I hope it's not so for Cantlay. Certainly a very talented player.
The word is, Bob, that he first underwent a procedure. This is for a deviated septum. He underwent a procedure in November of 2009, but said that another surgery is required to clean it up. Apparently, he's having a hard time sleeping. I don't know how long the recovery will be, but it appears he's going to have surgery once again for a deviated septum. So we'll keep our eye on that. Justin Rose is not playing. He skipped in 2019, hasn't played very well there. Speaking of not playing well there, Ricky Fowler, never been in the top 15. He's already committed to the Florida Swing at Honda, the Bay Hill, and the Players. Jason Day, who's never played in Mexico, and Henrik Stenson is also not decided to play in the event. You know, I know a number, and I know these guys are treated like kings, but I do know a number of years ago that the Champions Tour had a couple of incidents down there in Mexico. I'm not saying that's what the reason is these guys aren't going, but the reason is so many guys played at Riviera. You got the Florida Swing coming up. It's tough these days if you're a tournament to get guys that – I mean, this is still a hell of a field. I mean, you know, you're talking about Rory, Adam Scott, the winner last week, Kuchar, Rahm, DeChambeau, Spieth, JT, who missed the cut last week. Thanks a lot, JT. I had him on my DraftKings team. Tommy Fleet will be there. Sergio will be there. I mean, this is still a stellar field. Young Colin Morikawa is going to be there. But, you know, it's interesting because the way it falls on the schedule that you do have some big names that won't be teeing it.
Well, speaking of big names, I think it's only right that the Grill Room pause right now and acknowledge the passing of one of the true legends ever to play the sport, Jay, and somebody that was absolutely fantastic.
The great Mickey Wright, without question, and great's an overused term, but not when you win L82. She's the Sneed of the women's game. I mean, she won 82 LPGA career events. She won 13 majors. She was the leading money winner four straight years, 61 through 64. She also won the scoring trophy all of those years. She was a class to the game. And people that knew her, like you, and I'm sure Janice over time, was a tremendous, tremendous lady, a representative for Wilson Golf. And as I said on Twitter, a golf icon. Really sorry to hear of that. A grand life at the age of 85, Mickey Wright passing away.
Yeah, and she got a lot from the game, but she certainly gave a lot back.
Well, Bob, now we switch our gears to the opposite field event from the WGC in Mexico. The rest of the players on the PGA Tour that are eligible will be at the Puerto Rico Open. Cocoa Beach Golf and Country Club, Martin Traynor is your defending champion. And this is always an interesting spot because some guys that maybe aren't getting as much attention get an opportunity here because you don't necessarily have the big guys. You got Billy Haas, who we're still watching as he tries to get back his form. Vic Hovland, Bo Hostler, Mav McNealy, Scott McNealy's son, who finished in the top 10 at Pebble, Scott Brown rolling off that tie for second at Genesis. So, you know, you got guys looking to get FedEx Cup points and, of course, get that W and all that comes with it.
Yeah, Robert Allenby in the field, Omar Uresti, John Senden. I mean, it just sounds like a blast from the past. Carlos Franco, good golly, Miss Molly. I mean, he's got to have a cart to get around.
Dickie he's a Pride. Super senior, isn't he? Yeah.
John Rollins, who's spent a lot more time in the broadcasting booth so far in 2020 than he has on the golf course. Wish John a lot of luck. Does a good job broadcasting, by the way. I'm sure he'd rather be playing. He'll get a good chance this week. Bo Van Pelt, just name after name, rings that memory bell.
It sure does. It should be a good event there in Puerto Rico opposite the World Golf Championship event in Mexico. Well, Bob, let's take another short break before we introduce our feature interviews from the PGA Merchandise Show. First, we're going to hear from Eric Jones, a noted PGA professional and author of the book called Clutch Golfer Formula. And Eric will tell us about In the Clutch. And then we'll hear from the Switch Grip team of Eddie Rogacki and Stefan Van Zyl. Bob chatted with both of them about Switch Grip with both Ernie Els and Louis Oosthuizen using that product. So our listeners might want to use them as well. We'll hear about that next. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected. Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning links-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses, spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right, the iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates are online at gatewaynational.com. An added perk, if you live here in the St. Louis area, you purchase a season pass. Walters Golf Management manages 8 other properties and you'll get playing privileges at those golf courses. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, gatewaynational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, gatewaynational.com.
Boy, did I hit a home run finding my next guest. His name is Eric Jones, and just some of his qualifications. How about PGA Teacher of the Year? Went to Stanford University. 2-time world long drive champion and 3rd consecutive bestseller on Amazon. And Eric, thanks for joining me. And we're here to talk about your new book called Clutch Golfer Formula. Now, that sounds complicated, but I bet it really isn't.
It really isn't. The whole goal is to help people understand how to perform better under pressure. And we make it super simple.
Who can benefit from the book, Eric?
Well, it's a good question. We really wrote it for, let's say, the intermediate all the way up to scratch golfer. And the whole idea was to give them tools because, as you know, you're a lifelong golfer. Every time you play, there's always going to be a shot or a hole that turns the tide, right, where the round could go one way or the other. And we want to give people the tools to succeed in those situations. That's the whole idea behind Clutch. And there's too many books out there, in our opinion, on fear of failure and anxiety and all that stuff, and not enough books on how to do it right. So we wanted to write a book on how to do it right when there's pressure.
You know, it's amazing when they talk about a superior player. Quite often, the adjective they use, they'll say, he's clutch.
Right. And we were so fortunate because my co-author, Dr. Albaugh, is virtually a founding father of modern applied sports psychology. In fact, I would say every pro on tour has a sports psychologist as part of their posse, you know, as part of their support group. And all of them owe their roots in some part to Dr. Glenn. And so he knows everybody. We had a chance to interview a ton of Hall of Famers from the PGA, LPGA, Champions Tour, Scott McCarron, Julie Inkster, and we asked them, what does it take to succeed in a clutch situation? So we were so lucky because we got the answers from all of these people. And when we put it all together, it really boiled down to just four things. And that's what we summarized in the book. Practice the right way, deliberate practice, and then focus. Be intentional about what you intend to do, and trust your skills. Four skills. That's all it takes, and that's why we call them the clutch pillars.
You know, it's amazing. Being clutch, for some people, it could be breaking 100. They have an opportunity on their last hole to make par or bogey to break 100 for the first time, or break 80, or break 70, or win a tournament, or just anything. I mean, clutch comes into play quite often.
It does, and the sad thing is that most people underperform as soon as they get under pressure. So how do you handle that pressure? We really want to address that and to give them a system. That's why we call it the formula. If you follow these four steps, then this is what it's going to help you do. It's going to help you succeed in those clutch situations. So we're very happy, and the response that we've had so far has been, you know, through the roof. As you said, it hit the number one bestseller position in golf on Amazon in just 3 days, and we actually are getting a lot of feedback from other teaching pros who are figuring out ways to work this into their education when they're working with their students to help them succeed. It's really about performance skills, and it's kind of fun because it's not your typical, like, how do I fix my swing? This is, how do I fix my game? Especially, you know, first drive of the day or the last putt. How do I get it done? And so we're super happy with that, and we love the athlete stories in there.
So speaking of super happy, that's exactly what I am, because I came through in the clutch. I got a guest that's going to help your game, and you want to read the book, Clutch Golfer Formula by Eric Jones.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
There's our friend Eric Jones, PGA professional, author of the book Clutch Golfer Formula, and we'll switch gears and switch grips, if you will. The switch grip team of Eddie Rogacki and Steven Van Zyl, Bob caught up with them.
From Switch Grips, I'm here with Eddie Rogacki and Steven Van Zyl. And tell me, Eddie, what is Switch Grips?
Switch Grips is the first performance grip on the market. We have a unique interchangeable counterbalance feature that's built into the grip that's very quick and seamless to interchange the weights, that turns any club you have into a performance-enhancing grip. It helps with the rate of closure. It's very, very simple. We have a couple different options that you can use for different weights. We do it by 6-gram intervals. So you can go ahead and simply just put in one of four options, and you're going to see an immediate result. One of those four options is going to work for you.
And, of course, we're not even talking necessarily added distance. You may get that, you may not, but you are going to get added accuracy.
That's correct, Joe. The accuracy, by raising the MOI, by adding weight to the back of the club, you essentially raise the MOI of any club. And that helps the player deliver the club easier, essentially making the club easier to hit, bigger sweet spot, essentially getting a better result from what might have been a miss hit.
Well, there's a couple of players that I have known for a long time that they're not only tremendous people, but they're tremendous golfers. And I'm talking about Ernie Els and Louis Oosthuizen, and they both use it, Eddie.
Yeah, they do. We're very fortunate. We were able to work with them, and they were testing this process the entire time. And when they put their name on it, I think it validates the technology. And, you know, they both had tremendous years last year, and that was their first full season that they had the grips in play, and both of them they did fantastic.
Well, they're fantastic people. Now, the important question for our listeners, Stefan, is where can people get more information about Switch Grips?
We have our US website, switchgripsusa.com, where they can find all the information they need for any international clients, markets. We have switchgripssa.co.za, and we from that side take care of all the international markets. And there's a lot of info. There's a lot of information that a average golfer can go read up on to educate himself and get more familiar with the concept, and then thereby improving their game.
Eddie, before I let you go, this is something that can be installed by just about anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. The way that we designed it is simplicity, as you stated earlier, is, you know, it goes on just like a normal grip. It has a drain hole in the back, everything's there. And then once it's installed, you can use any driver torque wrench. You unscrew the weight in the back and you put in a new weight and you tighten down until you hear it click, and that's it.
That's it. And hey, thanks, guys. We really appreciate you stopping by. And I can't wait to talk to Ernie and Louie about.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.